Hey there, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. In this podcast, I want to go over the four exercises that every mountain biker should avoid. And, you know, I hate to use words like always and ever, which is why I'm not just saying, you know, never do these exercises, because you know, a lot of times you can find situations where, you know, maybe these exercises do provide some sort of benefit, but for 99% of mountain bikers out there, these exercises that I'm going to cover actually don't really do as much for you as you think they are and may actually be doing some harm. So first up is the leg press. And the leg press is a staple exercise in a lot of quote-unquote mountain bike specific programs because it's supposed to let you build leg strength, which we need for pedaling our bike. However, the problem is that when you sit down and basically lay down and brace your back against something, it changes how the core engages. So the way that your core engages and braces movement for that leg press where you're laying down and you have your back artificially braced up against something is going to be completely different than when you're standing and it doesn't, your back doesn't have something to press into. So, you know, the way that your body moves is different when you're sitting down and pedaling on your bike and standing up and pedaling on your bike versus when you're doing a leg press. So on, you know, it's basically a non-functional exercise. But beyond that, it's really easy to slip into lumbar extension, which is basically letting your tailbone come up. You see this a lot when you're trying to do leg presses and come down real deep, and you'll see that tailbone start to tuck and come up off of the back there, the back of the seat that you're sitting down on. And when you do that, you know, your low back loses the arch, and this is really dangerous for the lower back. I mean, that's a really bad position for your back to be in. And then what you do is you turn around and you reverse that motion and you actually use the lower back a little bit and crank with it a little bit to help get the weight move back in the opposite direction. So it's just really easy to do that. It's dangerous. And you know, the last point is that really the legs are rarely the true weak link. It's not really leg strength that you're needing on your bike. You're needing to be able to link multiple joints together in order to create lower body movement. And so the core and the hips and the knees and the ankles and even the shoulder joint, you know, are all involved when you're trying to create lower body movement, you know, on your bike in a three-dimensional environment. And so when you're sitting down on the leg press is basically a bodybuilding tool. Bodybuilders are trying to build muscle mass in the limbs. They don't care about functional strength. They don't care if this exercise translates over to the bike. And so if that's your goal, then it doesn't matter if the core isn't part of the equation because you're just trying to maximally overload the muscles of the legs. But that's not what we're looking for. We're not bodybuilders. So, you know, we need to try to avoid that mindset. That's the difference between training and working out. Working out is just going in the gym and building gym strength and some general fitness and not really having a goal. Whereas training is you're trying to basically work on specific movement patterns and conditioning aspects, and you have something you're trying to accomplish and you're practicing movement patterns, and then you get your workout from that practice. That's the idea of, with training versus working out and why the leg press really isn't a good idea from that standpoint. So, you know, what should you do if you're not going to do the leg press though? If you truly feel like your legs, and that's the reason people do leg press, because they feel like their legs are the weak link. If you really want to get your legs stronger and just do something to kind of really overload the lower body, then doing rack pulls or rack deadlifts are a great alternative. And this is basically where you set a bar up in a rack and you set the pin so that, you know, it's anywhere from like knee height to just where you're short of lockout. And what it does is it allows you to work the strongest in range of motion of the deadlift. And so you're able to use way more weight for those rack pulls than you are pulling a weight off of the ground. And so that's exposing your whole body, you know, your grip, your shoulders, your core, and your legs and hips, you know, to that load. And so it's forcing them to coordinate and link together. But that's a really good exercise to use if you feel like you want to do something to really just overload the legs, as opposed to doing the leg press. So that's the first exercise you should avoid as a mountain biker. The second one is the leg extension. And the leg extension, again, is one of those staple exercises. Again, we're thinking that, well, you know, we need our knee to extend when we're pedaling, and we need the quad to be nice and strong. So, you know, this exercise obviously should have something to do with cycling. But again, there's some other things to consider. You know, first and foremost, just like with the leg press, when you sit down, you change how the core engages. So again, when you're sitting down and you're bracing your back against something, it's going to change how the core engages versus when you're sitting on your bike and you don't have that artificial brace. So again, it's not really a very functional exercise. It also places a lot of pressure and shearing force on the knee, especially as you get stronger. You know, really the only place that I see a leg extension having in a mountain biker's program is for like an acute rehab period where you're specifically trying to strengthen that joint, or, you know, and even then, I mean, I think there's better exercises, but basically when you're using it to try to get quote unquote strong and you're using a lot of weight and doing a lot of reps, with a relatively high weight, you're putting a lot of shearing force and stress on that knee that you don't need. And also the leg is designed to have the hamstring co-contract to help stabilize the knee joint while it's being extended. And if you're sitting down and you're using the leg extension, it basically takes that hamstring out of the equation. It's not forced to co-contract as powerfully as when you're, you know, doing another exercise. Like, you know, good exercises to do instead of the leg extension are things like the single leg squat, single leg deadlifts, you know, the Bulgarian split squats, or, you know, AKA the rear foot elevated split squats. You know, those single leg movements are going to get your knee joint stronger and more stable, and it's going to allow, you know, your body to act the way that it's supposed to normally with that co-contraction of the hamstring to help stabilize the knee joint. So, you know, if you really want to work that quad and that knee extension, then doing, you know, single leg squats, especially all the way down, you know, pistol squats, you know, using like a TRX trainer or other suspension trainer to kind of help you maintain good form and really concentrate on the quad, you know, is a great alternative to that, to the leg extension. So the third exercise on my list is the close relative of the leg extension, and that's the leg curl. And, you know, it has a lot of the same issues as the leg extension. You know, again, when you lay down on your stomach, which is how most leg curl, when you lay down on your stomach, like most leg curl machines have you do, again, you're changing how the core is going to engage. You know, you're changing how things are actually working. And, you know, the hamstrings are not really designed to forcefully flex at the knee. And so, you know, it's kind of like the hip flexors. The hip flexors aren't designed to forcefully flex the hips. They're designed to, you know, pull the leg up to get it ready for the next powerful downstroke. And you need a certain amount of force and a certain amount of pull, but you don't need that, like, really actively trying to create a lot of energy. So same thing with the hamstring. The hamstring's real role in the most powerful movement of the body, or lower body movement, is to stabilize the knee, to actually, you know, co-contract with the quads and stabilize the knee and allow the hip to extend and create that last little bit of force and push that's the most powerful range of movement of your lower body movement. And so when you're purposefully training the hamstring to curl and create movement at the knee joint, you're reinforcing bad habits. That's not actually how you want to pedal on your bike. And so it really doesn't transfer over to the bike like you think that it should. You're giving up a more powerful movement at the hips for a less powerful, to try and strengthen and get better with a less powerful movement, which is flexion of the knee. So, you know, again, it's really not nearly as beneficial as you think that it is, and reinforces some bad habits on the bike. So, you know, again, the leg curl is just not a real good, a real good option for us. A much better option for you is to do a single leg, stiff legged deadlift. And so basically where you're having to completely flex at the hips while holding the core strong and stable, and having the hamstring do what it's designed to do, which is co-contract with the quad and help stabilize the knee joint so that you can create good, strong, powerful movement from the hip joint. So that's a much better, you know, hamstring specific exercise for you to do than the leg curl. And then finally on my list, the Smith machine, Smith machine squats or Smith machine deadlifts, the Smith machine is a really, really sneaky device because it looks like free weights. And a lot of people use it thinking that it's basically like using free weights, like using a barbell, but you've got the safety things on it so that you can, you know, easily, you know, twist the bar and rack it and stuff. But the problem is that the Smith machine, I mean, it even says it in its name, it's a machine. It's a machine in disguise. And so it's got a fixed axis. It's got, you know, it's basically a fixed path that the bar has to travel. And that path is not a biomechanical match to how a bar would actually travel if you were doing a true free weight squat or deadlift. And so, you know, it's not healthy on the joints because it's forcing your joints to actually go through a kinetic chain that it's not really designed to. It's having to modify how it moves based on the path of the bar as opposed to modifying where the bar is to accommodate the most functional movement of the joint. And so the other thing is that it allows you to leverage against those guardrails. You can kind of push into and lean into those guardrails a little bit in order to leverage a little bit more weight up. But this just leads to bad habits when in real life. So anytime you're trying to apply that squat or that deadlift pattern and you don't have those guardrails to push and leverage into, you're going to find that you've got some weird, funky movement going on. Like you're building bad habits with those guardrails that you're not going to be able to apply in three dimensions. So again, on your bike and just in everyday life, you're gonna find that strength that you're building really isn't transferring. And in fact, you know, all of these things, one of the things, especially the leg press and the Smith machine, one of the most dangerous parts of them is that they basically massage your ego. They kind of feed your ego and allow you to get strong in an unnatural way. But you walk around thinking that, hey, I'm strong. And so, you know, if you do Smith machine deadlifts and you're able to do quite a bit of weight, you know, you're going to think, hey, I'm strong enough to be able to lift a heavy box or a heavy rock or just, you know, something heavy. And so you're going to be much more likely to put yourself into a bad situation outside of the gym because you've built this false gym strength that has you thinking that you're stronger than you really are. So that's, you know, why you want to try to avoid a lot of these, you know, gym specific exercises and concentrate on movements because they're going to transfer so much better to your bike. So obviously your alternative to the Smith machine squat or deadlift is to just do a regular old squat and deadlift. And you shouldn't be training to the point of failure where you feel like you need that safety of the Smith machine. Like that, you know, if you feel like that's where you're going on a consistent basis, then you need to kind of check your training program and what you're trying to do with it, you know, more than feel like you got to use that Smith machine for safety purposes. So anyway, that's not really an excuse. That's just a bad training program if you feel like that's why you need it. But so that's pretty much it. That's my list of exercises you want to avoid. You know, the leg press, the leg extension, the leg curl, and the Smith machine squat or deadlift. You know, what these exercises all have in common is that they are, you know, machine based. They have you you know, moving in an unnatural, you know, or plane and doing things that your body's really not designed to do. And so again, if you're a bodybuilder, maybe that's all right if your sole goal is to build muscle. But as mountain bikers, we're not bodybuilders, so we don't want to use their tools if they're not going to deliver the biggest bang for the buck. So when you're in the gym, you want to be concentrating on these other alternatives like the rack deadlifts, your single leg squats, your single leg deadlifts, your single leg stiff legged deadlifts, and just your regular old squat and deadlifts. You know, concentrating on those exercises are going to get you way more bang for your buck. You're going to see way more transfer from the gym to the trail. And so that's basically it. Hopefully, giving you something to think about. If you have some of those exercises you want to avoid in your program currently, try replacing them with some of my suggestions and give them a few weeks and see if you're not seeing better results. So once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. Be sure and check me out on the web at bikejames.com, and I'll talk to you guys next time.